I'm Caleb Brown, host of the Cato Daily Podcast, and I'm taking this time to ask you during the month of December to financially support the Cato Daily Podcast and the broad mission of the Cato Institute to advance individual liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Visit cato.org/podcast sponsor and support our efforts. This is the only time of the year when I make this request, so I'm adding something. If you support Cato to the tune of $1,000 or more, I'll gladly give you a shout-out on the podcast, or you can designate another individual to receive the benefits of that donation. Just visit cato.org/podcast sponsor to get started, and thank you. This is the Cato Daily Podcast for Saturday, December 11th, 2021. I'm Caleb Brown. Mark Meadows, the White House Chief of Staff for former President Donald Trump, was cooperating with the January 6th committee, and then he wasn't. His reasoning has to do with the committee seeking outside information about Meadows' communications with the president. The law in this area is not precisely clear. Cato's Julian Sanchez explains. Mark Meadows was chief of staff for Donald Trump during his administration, and now after the January 6th attack and Donald Trump and the administration, I guess, their role in that attack, Mark Meadows has been cooperating with congressional requests for information, and then he stopped. And then on an interview program, he said one of the reasons that he was stopping was that Congress was seeking from carriers or sending subpoenas to carriers for information. My assumption was that he was referring to cell phone carriers. And my first thought was, well, you don't have any privacy interest in that information. And you're telling me that's not really the central issue here. So tell me why I'm wrong here.
Yeah, it's surprisingly unclear what Congress's legal powers are in this context, because we have a whole lot of Fourth Amendment case law governing law enforcement, executive branch attempts to obtain information, whether by search warrant, subpoena, or other methods without a warrant. And similarly, we have federal statutes written to govern law enforcement executive branch access to sensitive digital records, both metadata and communications content, like the Stored Communications Act, part of the Electronic Communications Privacy Act. But in both cases, we don't have nearly as much, either in terms of federal statute or case law, that is clear on either the statutory or constitutional limits on Congress's ability to obtain such information. And so we need to think first, I think, about a couple of types of information that are covered, really three types of information that might be covered in congressional subpoenas to telecommunications carriers and platforms. So on the one hand, we have communications content, which receives very strong protection both under federal statute and as a matter of constitutional law. We have non-content, broadly speaking, metadata information like who called who when and for how long and that sort of thing. And then there's a sort of novel category of non-content information that the Supreme Court has suggested does receive Fourth Amendment protection, at least when the government or the executive branch attempts to obtain it in sort of the aggregate in large amounts because it's particularly sensitive. In Carpenter versus United States, the Supreme Court held that there was a Fourth Amendment right against the acquisition of extensive and protracted cell site information, which could be used to very precisely geographically locate an individual. And this was sort of a departure from the standard that had been established for many years, known as the third-party doctrine. This idea here is that other than communications content, when you turn over information to a third party, like the phone company or an internet provider, you sort of waive all of your Fourth Amendment interests in it. And that's why your bank records or your phone bills can be obtained without a full-blown Fourth Amendment search warrant. Here, the court said, okay, yeah, we as previously said that this sort of thing isn't covered, but this seems so sensitive that we're gonna narrow that third party doctrine somewhat. To also the statutory level, it was actually ambiguous as a matter of a constitutional law for a while, whether stored communications content, like the email on your email server, was protected by the Fourth Amendment. After a case called Warshak in the Sixth Circuit, it is now broadly assumed that a warrant is required to obtain, for example, email content in the same way, at least from a third party. You can always subpoena an individual for content. For their own, to produce their own content, that is in fact protected by the Fourth Amendment, requires a warrant. But so for other kinds of non-content, for other kinds of metadata, the primary protection is statutory. Now, this may be what Meadows had in mind when he said that he thought Congress had made an illegal request for information. The Stored Communications Act says, first, with respect to non-content records like phone bills or other kinds of internet metadata, that telecommunication providers may not voluntarily disclose such information to any governmental entity. Except, quite counterintuitively, Congress does not count as a governmental entity. This is just a weird thing where governmental entity is a legal term of art referring to agencies or departments of the government, which is courts generally regard as meaning across a range of other laws as meaning executive branch agencies and not encompassing the legislature. So in that case, it seems as though to the extent the primary obstacle is the Federal Stored Communications Act, the prohibition on disclosing non-content to a governmental entity probably does not restrict the production of that information to Congress, except as it concerns things like cell site records, which the Supreme Court has held are kind of a different kind of non-content information. Then we get to content, things like the content of an email or a voicemail. The Stored Communications Act prohibits disclosure to any entity, with a couple of exceptions that don't apply here. And, you know, there are some people who would argue, well, unless Congress explicitly said any entity means Congress, too, they should be assumed not to limit their own power. I think the more reasonable reading is that that's a categorical prohibition. And so Congress would be barred from getting a disclosure without some of the processes listed there. Now, the problem, of course, again, is, well, Congress doesn't get search warrants. So if you read the Stored Communications Act that way, it's not clear what process there would be for Congress to obtain that information from a provider. It would seem like they would have to essentially subpoena Meadows, or at least maybe have a process where Meadows is involved in having an opportunity to challenge it. Somewhat surprisingly, really, when it comes to the Fourth Amendment restrictions on Congress, the last time we really get a Supreme Court view on this is in a case from the 1960s called McFaul, M-C-P-H-A-U-L, that evaluated a subpoena from the House Un-American Activities Committee seeking information about a group called the Civil Rights Congress that had been designated as a subversive organization. And the Fourth Amendment discussion there is really about three sentences. And again, we have a ton of Fourth Amendment case law about government agencies obtaining information for law enforcement purposes. We have a lot less when it comes to case law really limiting the boundaries of Congress's ability to obtain various different kinds of information that have different degrees of constitutional Fourth Amendment protection. But it is worth noting, I think, you know, scholars regard the Fourth Amendment as among other things, a limitation on Congress, right? So the section that says no warrants shall issue but upon probable cause supported by their affirmation, particularly describing the place to be searched and the person or things to be seized, that was motivated in part by the fear that Congress might decide to authorize general warrants for one purpose or another. So it's making clear that, look, no, Congress cannot statutorily authorize searches that are not particularized and not based on probable cause. Again, there's questions about the extent to which subpoenas qualify as searches, which is a whole rabbit's nest. But it's clearly not the case then that the Fourth Amendment shouldn't be read as binding Congress, right? It would be perverse to say well, we're going to prevent Congress from authorizing general warrants, but by the way, they can just directly issue them themselves. That can't be right. But exactly what the limits are and what mechanisms might exist for Congress to obtain information, given that they, as a rule, do not have statutory authority to seek search warrants, is unclear. This is an underdeveloped area of law.
So it seems pretty clear that Congress can obtain the information about Mr. Meadows' phone calls. That is what they call a pen register. That is simply the information about the call, but not dealing with the substance of the call, but anything else that is the discussions within those communications, probably a much harder task for Congress to accomplish.
Yeah. So a pen register usually refers to live interception of metadata. So if you had effectively a kind of limited wiretap that only gets metadata about a phone call or internet communication.
Okay. So stored records then.
If we look at stored records that are not content, I think it's reasonably clear that the Stored Communications Act does not prohibit Congress from obtaining that information because, again, counterintuitively, they're not a governmental entity. In a sense, right, their kind of constitutional subpoena authority, which is not based in statute, then persists, right, sort of survives a claimed objection under the Stored Communications Act. So to the extent they're asking for communications metadata like phone bills, that does not include geolocation information, that they can probably obtain via subpoena. When it comes to geolocation information and content, it's much less clear not just what the extent of their authority is, but also what process they you know ought to be going through under current law to do that kind of thing. And I think this is actually an issue the House passed on several occasions some years ago, proposed amendments to the Stored Communications Act intended to clarify, essentially the extent to which this applies to Congress and what Congress's authorities are. But that's never passed. So we are, for the moment, left with a question mark.
So Meadows' complaint just seems to be Congress is asking for information that I myself am not able to provide to them. They're seeking out information about me from some other source, and that gets in my craw a bit.
Yeah. And with respect to metadata, I don't think he has much of a case, at least under current law. We know that under the Senate Select Committee on Intelligence's investigation of Russian electoral interference, they did obtain communications metadata pursuant to their investigation. That was actually somewhat novel, despite the sort of the constitutional subpoena power of Congress being pretty long established. This is not the sort of thing that they had really much gone in for previously. They did, in that investigation, obtain, I believe for the first time, telecommunications metadata, but they did make a point of saying, we are not seeking content. So I think with respect to their ability to obtain his communications metadata, Meadows does not have a great argument. With respect to the content and certain kinds of metadata like geolocation, he may have a better case.
Julian Sanchez is a senior fellow at the Cato Institute. Subscribe to and rate the Cato Daily Podcast pretty much anywhere. And follow us on Twitter @CatoPodcast.